Hello, and welcome back to the Comedy Fix Podcast. I can't do a motherfucking intro without Sam giggling.
Hello!
I can't do a fucking intro without Sam giggling, and now Chris is on board. Fuck you guys. Welcome back to the Comedy Fix. This is the podcast where we do our darndest to fix comedy and all of its different permutations. And in one day, my friends, we'll get there. I'm here, of course, with Chris and Sam. My name is Jamie. And today we're talking about the straight man in comedy. Sometimes that's called the voice of reason, or I'm sure there are other permutations of that. But we're going to talk about what the straight man is, what the role is. Keep in mind that this is not a heteronormative term. I'm not sure where it came from. I'm sure it had nothing to do with sexual orientation. So they may get used interchangeably. Please take no offense at these terms being used. That's our little advisory warning. But the straight man, I'm fascinated by the straight man. Why does the person who call out the unusual thing get a laugh a lot of the time? I've been in a million shows, and sometimes someone just saying the obvious that's happening is very funny. I'm very interested in this topic, and I've thought a lot about it, and I'm kind of curious to see what you gentlemen think of as well. Can I kick it to you, Chris, straight man? what does this mean to you? What do you think its role is in comedy?
I'm so glad we're talking about it, because it's something that's always there, but I don't know that I have like pumped the brakes on this topic and kind of dove into it. Yes, I'm with you. Voice of reason is a synonym. I don't know if that's the right word. Or also people sometimes, as a teacher, will talk about how the straight man is the eyes of the audience. They're speaking for us in the house. So they're the ones that are calling out the unusual thing or calling out what's absurd. And obviously there is a role for that person, right? So we're talking about the straight, but oftentimes it's associated with straight and absurd. You're doing a straight absurd scene. Somebody is straight, somebody's absurd. Someone's doing the stuff that is not logical. The other person is calling that out, being the voice of reason. And I think that's all good. It's great. What's coming up in my mind, though, is the accolades that a straight man will get. You hear this in like cinema a lot, where like, oh, one of the best straight men to ever do it. Or maybe like a Laurel and Hardy type thing or whatever. Like, oh, I mean, and I guess that's because the absurd person who is jumping off the building or eating the dog poop is saying, without that person's eyes, I am nothing. So they are a big part of making this moment work, which is which again, I'm just talking this out in front of you guys, which again, I don't disagree with. It's strange to me. It's weird when you're on stage too and you go, oh, I need to straight man this moment, or I'm being straight manned. You know, like you make a choice that maybe you didn't even think was super unusual, but it gets a giggle. Your team partner, your scene partner is like, ah, that's an unusual move. Let me straight man this, as opposed to say, peas in a pod it, which would be getting on the same side of the problem or having a similar feeling to what's happening. I'm just talking here now, guys. I guess I don't really have a point. I'm actually more curious. I'm glad I wasted time. I'm curious to hear from Sam, because I feel like, Sam, is this an archetype? Is this found in writings for thousands of years? Am I correct in that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll. No one's going to Google this while I'm talking. So, straight man comes from vaudeville, let's say, playing it straight, keeping a straight face, right? Would be something that we'd want to be talking about. And I would attribute this to the incongruity theory of comedy, which is that when like two things don't go together, we find that funny. We find that like dissonance kind of interesting. And I bet if we go back, we could find a lot of like archetypes through history or whatever. But the thing that I was doing, knowing that we were talking about this, is I was recently just like observing when people laugh, when a group of people tell a story. And it's so funny to me. It's not the point in the story where they're talking about the craziness that's going on, right? Like, oh my God, the person was wearing a pink hat and backward shoes and they had like everything hanging out. And it was just terrible. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing in my store? Right? Like, it's the person's reaction that always kind of generates the laugh from people. Even in like viral videos I was watching this week, it was so interesting. Paul Valancourt talks about in the improvised movie that we do like a laugh of recognition. And I think that's part of this too, where we recognize that's how we would act in that moment. And if we don't have that person there, then we don't really have the release. We don't know if the reality, if this is like just a world where people shit in buckets and that's okay. But then at the same time, we also sort of don't have that person we relate to. It's like, yeah, well, I would shit in that bucket, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I kind of see maybe two things going on with straight man voice of reason. I think maybe one is that recognition, is that truth, someone speaking truth, and maybe truth is funny, or maybe there's something, it's related to that somehow. And then the second one that I was thinking about coming into this episode is maybe the straight man is that age-old thing where people like other people to suffer. Like, it's funny to watch the struggle of somebody else. So the straight man is usually the one who's being harassed, annoyed, the normal person where things are going wrong around them. Maybe that's the sick part of humanity, that can enjoy the suffering of other people. And of course, that's the most politically incorrect thing to say. But there's something about human beings that gets some satisfaction out of that, whether it's, you know, moral superiority and, you know, the decline or and the fall of the villain in a dramatic story, or maybe it's the suffering of the straight man in a comedy scene. People enjoy the suffering of other people in certain circumstances. And so I was wondering if maybe this straight man is kind of just a glossed over, polished way of saying, we like this person to suffer. This person's suffering. What? You're doing X, Y, and Z? They're frustrated. They're annoyed, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Let's unpack that a little bit, because I know what you're saying. But then sometimes I feel like the straight person is also just call out person, where there aren't many stakes. They're just going, you're wearing your shoes backwards. Do you know what I mean? Where like, it doesn't really affect them. They're just, they are our eyes commenting on that, where they aren't. So I hear what you're saying, Jamie, because there's a lot.
Is that the truth shade of the straight man versus the suffering shade of the straight man?
I see what you're saying. You brought up two versions. Yes. Yes. Maybe. Yes. Maybe so.
Oh, do we, interesting.
Do we like to see that? Do we like to see the person? We do, right?
Yeah. it's kind of like that plot versus story distinction, right? Where once you add emotion, where like once we understand why that person is upset that they're doing it wrong, that's what kind of clicks into it for us, I think.
Can we kind of bring this to like the stage for a second, specifically an improv scene? This is an interesting little thought I just had. Sometimes with teams, I'll have them run a series of scenes, and I'll have them run, as I had mentioned, peas in a pod. I'll have them run slice of life, which is, I'm sure everyone knows, just quickly, you know, it's just nothing fantastic is happening today. It's just, a mundane, it could even be mundane, just a slow moment in the scene. So that's slice of life. And then the straight absurd. When you have them do peace in a pod, very easy for two people to run around like chickens together. Great. You have them do slice of life. Yeah, they can make a cup of tea and have a conversation about what's in the New York Times. When you have them do straight absurd, something I've noticed happens. And that's this. Okay, we're going to do a straight absurd. Okay, because, you know, during the show, you find yourself in that position. You don't go out going, I'm going to do a straight absurd. You find yourself there, and that's how you react. When you task somebody with doing a straight absurd, this is what I've seen happen that's really funny, is one person will go, oh, shit, I got to make a choice, so I'm going to make the absurd choice. It's hard to make a straight choice, like, out of the gate. Or maybe, I don't know if it's hard, but people tend to go with the big thing. But what ends up happening is the person goes, I ate too many burritos, like kind of loud and big to be absurd. And then the other person will end up being the absurd, because like maybe they don't react in the way that, like, check this out. I ate too many burritos. And then, you know, by the book, the straight person should be like, I've never seen somebody eat so many burritos. Like, right? I'm voice of reason. But what always happens is I ate too many burritos, and the other person goes like what kind of sauce did you use? And then I go, hold on, now you're the absurd, because it's absurd not to question somebody's absurd moment. So now you have now put yourself in the... So, do you know what I mean? Like when you try to make the move, it's very strange. It's also weird to like choose to be absurd. Or I'll go, hold on, during that entire thing where the person was being absurd, you were just smoking a cigarette. So, oh yeah, that's kind of what I want to land on here, guys. I've never said this out loud, but like, it's very absurd. I think you are the absurd if you are not reacting, because people think the straight man doesn't do a lot. The straight man is lower. The straight man doesn't have the energy. They watch the big absurd freak show happening, and I'm going to straight man that. But if you're just sitting there smoking a cigarette while someone's screaming about burritos, you might be as fucking crazy. You might be as absurd. You know what I mean? If you aren't shocked by it, if you aren't taking on the emotion of going, this is absurd. Help me make sense of what I just said, guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely happened where the non-reaction by the other person becomes the weirder thing in the
scene.
That's
what I'm trying to say. Jeez.
And I mean, I'm bringing it back to the emotion you're talking about. Like, to me, a straight man energy is very nervous a lot of times. Like, oh no, like this is going to go wrong. Like, this is going to be bad. Like, you got to stop this. Or sad sometimes, I think, can be a very good like straight man emotion, especially like, you know, I was just sort of thinking of someone's absurd. They're going to wear a cardboard box to their wedding. Who's that more interesting on? Is that more interesting on the bride? Well, we always kind of know the bride wears stuff, but like, I don't know if the groom's going to care that much about it, but you put it on the groom and like, we have the stakes and the emotion of like the bride wanting her wedding kind of a thing. And maybe that's a little heteronormative. And guys, this is not a heteronormative episode about the straight man. But I think there is something to the stakes for the straight man. Like, the straight man has to be invested in it going well, and it just has to like keep getting worse.
All right, Jamie, what do you think are qualities of a good straight man performance, straight person performance? Yeah, you're right. It's weird. What are qualities that we might see in somebody who's delivering what we consider to be a quality and successful straight man performance?
I think probably a reaction, emotional or otherwise, to what's happening in a way that we might actually see out in the real world if something was happening. So someone ate too many burritos. I don't know that I would freak out about somebody eating too many burritos. I might just be like, go lay down. You know,
I don't know why I give up on that. Yeah.
So I'm not sure what my actual reaction would be for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say alien burritos, alien burritos.
Interesting. So this is often a quandary that happens with the straight man is, alien burritos, do I just ask questions now about what alien burritos are, or do I know what alien burritos are? And that's not the unusual thing. I don't want to make that the unusual thing. So I know exactly what alien burritos are. I'm like, well, I had two for breakfast. What do you care? Like, I kind of love letting the weird thing go by and like waiting for something else. That's almost, that's beside the point.
But why did we think go lay down was such a funny reaction to I ate too many burritos? Like, we all laughed really hard at that.
So, I think it was me straight manning Chris's absurd example.
I think you're right, because that was funny. It's funny to say go lay down.
See why? Okay, well, why is it feels like it, why is that funny?
It feels like dad logic, you know, like I don't know. I just love that idea. I think that's straight man. I think that's funny to say that.
But why is that funny? Because that's essentially me saying that your example is dumb.
I ate so many burritos. I ate 34 burritos. Go lay down.
It's so interesting, and there's so much stuff at play here, right? Like, it's art, it's subjective, like how it kind of undercuts like the magnitude of it, like the dad energy of it, the dismissiveness of it in some ways. It also feels like very Jamie, right? Like, that's not, can you play a character and straight man at the same time? Do you always kind of have to come out of character? I've heard people talk about like straight manning themselves, straight personing themselves. It sounds better, straight manning themselves.
Yeah.
But you always kind of have to come out of a character to do that.
What does that mean? Straight manning yourself.
Oh, it's something, I think I heard it first, maybe from like BOC and sort of like peas in a pod kind of a thing, where when we get so absurd together, like the audience right kind of checks out at a certain point in time. So we might want to dial it back a little bit. Like, should we really wear cardboard to our wedding? I mean, like, everyone's going to, I'm just going to keep this example. It's terrible. Sure. But like, everyone's going to take photos of it. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's really not a traditional choice, but like, imagine what we'll do for the environment. Yeah, we'll save the, you know, it's like, and then you kind of like build it back up again.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've never cared for that. I've never
straight manning the absurd improv.
I mean, if you're going to go for it, go for it. Holding it back, I don't think advances anything. I would say if you reach the climax, then edit it out or change your character.
Let's talk about the straight man and absurd situation that is this dynamic. Sam Miller is your straight man.
I'm the straight man?
Oh, God.
Because Jamie will very often paint me as an absurd improv performer. That I think is one of his favorite moves, is that I am being absurd in some ways by like doing, let's say, traditional improv stuff. And then Jamie will kind of straight man that, is be like, Sam, you're holding air.
But that's almost part of the trickster, is straight manning improv itself. Is like, oh, okay, yeah, you're holding a cup now. Everyone's going to believe that cup. It's like, it's straight manning. It's a meta kind of straight man is maybe the trickster. It's straight manning society in a sense.
But when he calls that stuff out, Sam, he certainly isn't speaking for us. We're still with you.
That's what I don't know if I agree with the straight man speaks for the audience or as the eyes of the audience. I mean, to me, that sounds weird. As me as an audience member, when I see a show, I don't need eyes for me. I understand how the world works and I know what's unusual on stage. Like, that's what's so weird about the straight man, or how it's taught, is like, me as an audience member seeing thousands of shows, I've never been like, someone better say something. It's like, I've never thought that. Who cares? Yeah, so it's weird to me that it's taught that way. And I'm trying to think, well, what is behind that pedagogy? Maybe it's the truth, straight man shade.
I think so.
Which then again, why is the truth satisfying? Why is that fun for an audience to hear? Oh, your shoes are on backwards. Is it a non sequitur, or is it a surprise? I don't know. That's why I suggested this as a topic, because I'm fascinated by the straight man in comedy. I really am almost perplexed by it.
I think for me, the best straight man is Buster Keaton. He's a silent film star that you won't hear about as much as Charlie Chaplin.
What? He says it like this is a film class and we don't know who Buster Keaton is.
This is
some people might not. I, you know, they're I'm glad Sam, if all of our listeners know who Buster Keaton is.
One time in college, there was this girl there, and we were talking about silent films, and I go, I don't know. To be honest, my favorite is Buster Keating. And she goes, Keaton? And I was like, fuck. I had this moment where I was like, well, you guys all like Chaplin. I like this guy named Buster Keating. And she's like, that's not how you say it.
So we didn't laugh when you said Keating. We laughed when she corrected you, right? Like, what is this reaction of the truth and reality? And I think, Jamie, you actually make a really good point of it, where it's like very trickster. And it's something that like Buster does so well all the time, as we just cut to his face and it's that deadpan, and like the world around him is like kind of nutso. Like, why is that so rewarding for us? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Sam, does this happen in like, if you're writing a scene, I don't know if it's like a film or a TV show, will you know, oh, you know, character X is straight manning this moment? I don't know if that exists exactly.
Yeah, I would say it does. I mean, especially breaking TV pilots, I've kind of heard you can go one of two ways. You can either have a straight person in the middle of a bunch of like absurd characters, or you can have one really crazy character in kind of a world of straight people. But I think one of the big challenges in writing is actually making the straight person funny. You can't just keep them as this truth teller. You have to make sure that they're also funny sometimes, especially if you have two characters in a scene. You might have sort of going back and forth where like one person's being weird about their thing and the one character kind of straight mans that, then they get into like their weird thing and the other person kind of straight mans them. I think that's very common.
You know, I recall a scene loosely, but Peter Flouet, who's been on our podcast. Hi, Peter. Breaking out during a show and doing a monologue almost as himself. It was a character, but this passionate monologue about how everything around him is fucking insane and how, why aren't these being called out and why are babies allowed to drive and how come this McDonald's serves cucumber salad, or you know what I mean? Just like went off on this thing. I didn't do a good job explaining it. And the audience was dying. And what he was doing was spending in a full minute just kind of calling out all this craziness that we had been living in for the majority of the show. It was an organic way to get there, and I'm doing a bad job now recalling it, but I do remember everyone just laughing at him calling out all the craziness that we had just been subjected to, and it was a real fun moment for everybody.
I'm thinking about that example and then your Buster Keating one, and I think I'm leaning towards now the straight man, or the role of the straight man is to highlight the suffering in the scene. So maybe either the straight man, him or herself, suffers because of the craziness going around that person, or maybe they call out the absurdity of another person, and then that person who's being absurd suffers the humiliation. You know, you're wearing your shoes backwards, call it out, humiliating moment for that person. You know, Buster Keating, humiliating moment for you, you're suffering. I wonder if the straight man's role is kind of to highlight the suffering, either his or her own or their scene partners. Is that too brutal of a perspective on the straight man? Because I'm kind of convincing myself that that's what's going on here.
You know, we had a guest who came on and tried to say that the theory of laughter and comedy is settled, and it's not. So you are just sort of taking the superiority theory perspective, and I think that's very valid. And even thinking about some of the other examples that I was thinking of, like, I think both ways works, right? We either like to see the straight person suffer, or we kind of enjoy it when they're the reason that the other person is going to suffer. That's interesting.
Are you saying this in addition to the truth stuff, Jamie?
No, I think the truth is the mechanism by which the straight man makes the other person suffer.
So I just came up with a scene in my mind as we're speaking.
Great.
Because I was just thinking, like, again, you typically find yourself in a straight absurd scene. You know, you don't really go out there with the intention of doing that, or I don't at least. And I don't know. I just put it together in my head where I walked up. We'll just do it, actually. Jamie, you're checking into a hotel, okay? So come, you're coming up to the desk to check in. Okay.
Hi. I booked a room here for two nights. My girlfriend and I are out for the weekend.
Great. The name, please?
Sam Miller.
Sam Miller. Okay. Terrific. Great. You are going to be in room 112, and this toothbrush will get you in.
Oh, toothbrush. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Did you want toothpaste with that to get you into the room?
Honey, do you want toothpaste?
We need toothpaste to get into the room. I normally just use it for like brushing my teeth.
Wait, we need toothpaste to get into the room?
Well, you need the toothbrush to get into the room. The toothpaste will make it easier if you're into that sort of thing.
Wait, is that an upcharge? I'm not interested. I just wanted the basic room. This is just a little getaway. I don't come to San Diego often.
No. As a matter of fact, it's not an upcharge. It's more of a preference.
Is it cheaper? Is it cheaper if we get the toothpaste?
Well, you will spend less time trying to get in your room. So if time is money.
Can I just ask one question? Is the door a mouth that might bite me?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay. Can we sedate the door?
Okay. See. So the only dumb thing I had was I was going to give you a toothbrush instead of a key.
Right.
I didn't have anything else to go. Well, that would be an unusual thing to have. I didn't go beyond that. Obviously. And to figure out if suffering would be occurring in that, if maybe, although I don't know that my offer of a toothbrush instead of a key makes me directly absurd. I don't know that. It's kind of like my example.
It could be a kitschy hotel.
Right. So that's kind of a failure on my part. But if it was weird, and I feel like Sam, I kind of feel like your character was save for that last question, was kind of the straightest person there.
Here, let's try it again. Chris, let's do this scene over again, and you keep your same thing. Sam and I will straight man you a lot harder, and maybe we'll see if that'll help.
Great. Hi, welcome.
Hi. We have a room booked for two nights, the King Suite.
Oh, King Suite here. Okay. Oh, you must be the Millers.
Hi. That's us.
Yep. Okay, terrific. Here's a brochure for things you can do in the area.
Oh, and fun. Here, parasailing.
This toothbrush will get you into your room.
A toothbrush? Why are you giving me a toothbrush?
I'm sorry. To enter your room.
We want a key. Where's the key? Give us the key to enter the room.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Where's the key? Can I get the key?
The toothbrush.
I have to pee. Can I just get the key so I can go to the room?
The toothbrush will get you into the room.
I have to brush my teeth first. I have to brush my teeth first. Do you want me to brush your teeth, sir? Are you a pervert?
No.
What kind of hotel would give someone a toothbrush as a key?
Are you telling me right now that I have to brush the teeth of the door before I go inside to pee? Can I just get the key? Where's the key?
So you asked me what type of hotel would have a toothbrush instead of a key. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, let me tell you. Welcome.
We're leaving.
So yeah, interesting. I love doing both of these examples. I really, really do. Putting it on its feet. It's not fun to be in those scenes. I'll tell you what. Actually, it was more fun to be in the first scene. It was more fun.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I forget about the onus. Again, I don't know if I'm using that word right. Upon me to have to like when Sam says, "What type of hotel would do this?" It's like, now do I come up with an actual reason? Like it's a kitschy hotel. In that case, it wouldn't be absurd at all. Or in my head, I was like, "Oh, you want to ask me a question? Well, then give me the spotlight, and I'll sing a full song." Again, it's bullshit. I don't have an actual answer. I felt more on the ropes in that second scene. Where in the first scene, you were kind of going with me, Jamie. Now, I don't know if you and I were peas in a pod, and Sam's character in the first scene was a little more straight. I don't know. What is your experience? Also, was that a straight absurd? And was there suffering? And was there any funny to be had?
I don't know if I reacted too hard the second time. Maybe reacting, because like we said, reacting too hard or not hard enough could be now the unusual thing. Why am I so angry that there's a toothbrush? A key, what do I care? Just open the door. Right.
Interesting. I mean, I'm with you though. I mean, I think that's a valid choice, but I guess there's more room for the funny to be like, okay, right? Like taking it like, I'm just talking out loud, right? Like, okay, babe, we got a toothbrush. Oh, interesting. And did you need the toothpaste as well for the door? Yeah. I don't know. Is that fun? Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and what I was trying to get to a little bit is like the moment of, like, what is the truth, right? What is the actual reality here? Like, is it just a lock that needs a toothbrush to open it instead of a lock? Like, that's fine. But, like, if it is a fucking door with a mouth, like, maybe I don't want to straight man the scene with a hotel guy. Maybe I want to straight man the scene where now I have to, like, brush the teeth of the door to let me in. And, like, I'm tired. And, like, mom, I can't talk right now. I'm trying to open my hotel door. Like, yes, it is that hard. You know, like there might be other moments to straight man in some way.
It's kind of what you were talking about earlier, Chris, where maybe you find yourself in a straight man scene. Maybe that was a scene where we found ourselves in a peas in a pod scene, where it would have just been more fun, more absurd, because maybe it wasn't, maybe you weren't absurd enough for the straight man to play a strong role. Maybe your absurdity was too small for a straight man. So maybe that would have been, maybe if there's a small amount of absurdity, that's a great time to peas in a pod, because then you can build on it. Versus if you come out and you're nuts, you're out of your mind, then maybe the straight man has more of a role to play. So maybe we just found ourselves in a peas in a pod scene and tried to straight man it.
Yeah. But then it's weird, right? If I'm if I'm the hotel guy and I'm like, blah, 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 so cool, blah, blah, and you're like, what's going on?
I love Sumatra.
Yeah. I mean, no? Well,
do I have to edit that out now?
No.
That was great. That was very funny. Straight man.
Sam, is it because we don't know the rules yet? Is it that, right? Like, if I speak all crazy, then or the toothbrush stuff, is it because the audience or we haven't made clear that this is weird? But even if we do, what's the point of that? Like to what end is the toothbrush choice doing anything? You know, that feels weird too.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. My initial reaction is that, like, we know opening a door with a toothbrush is weird. But I do feel like we're just confused, right? Like, we're missing some context. We don't fully understand, like, what's going on quite yet. And so, you know, I think this is one of the things that they say is, like, confusion is killer for comedy. And I think that's kind of the straight man's role. And we've even touched on it a little bit of, like, say the obvious thing out loud, or at least what's obvious to you. I think it's really interesting when you're talking about these moments of how you stumble into a straight absurd scene on stage and you don't even know it, and maybe your scene partner doesn't know it. To me, those are those moments of, like, really honest reaction, right?
Where right.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but it's because I'm thinking, because I just failed at what my students fail at, which is I came in with a straight absurd premise rather than kind of finding it. Where I'm picturing walking into someone's house on a date, and then the one who lives in the home goes, "Would you like a drink?" And then, you know, lifts up a 16th century battle axe to, like, open something. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, not choosing that, finding that moment would be really. And then as the person who's seen that, oh, that's a that's a large axe. Now I know I'm immediately straight manning this situation. I already feel stronger in that scenario that I just said right now. Because I made it up as I talked to you.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. My grandpa gave it to me. He was a Welsh fighter. Go Welshies!
I don't know what that means.
You want olives in your martini?
Yeah. No, I love olives. Love olives.
Yeah. Wow. Let me just cut this little bad boy in half. Oh, sorry. Oh my God, that pit got right in your eye. I'm so sorry about that. Let me get it out. This thing is really delicate.
You're gonna use the axe?
Hey, hold still.
Okay. Oh, God. No, that's my eye. That's my eye. Oh, God.
Oh, God. No, I just olived your eye. I'm so sorry about that. Let me get you a tissue. Do you prefer Kleenex or not name brand? I get it. They're destroying the
Amazon. I'm not saying no to name brand. I'm saying no to any of your offers. The only offer I'll take is an ambulance.
An ambulance? Do you want the McCormick or do you want Los Angeles County? Because Los Angeles County is not going to charge you if you don't have insurance. But McCormick is going to get you hard.
Okay. See, and all I want to do is tag and be your friend and just be like, why did you stay after he put a battle axe in your eyes? Just like, I know you want to date someone, but, like, this is, you're being absurd.
Right. Well, it's funny. I thought I was doing my darndest. Like, Jamie was kind of strangling me with the absurdity. I had to, like, fight to get the straight man out. Like, no, I'm shaking my head. He's saying, oh, I'm saying no to a Kleenex brand or something, right? What I'm trying to say, no, let me get it out that I don't want, I want to get out of here. It's funny, though, to kind of suffocate somebody with the absurdity where I can't get my straight person. That sounds so weird, but, you know, point across. That's interesting. That is interesting. I mean, Sam, so when do we make a successful straight absurd scene? When we start off with absurd without having laid out any rules, is what I'm saying. Fuck, hold on. I'm saying my toothbrush key example, I didn't really like the second version of it when we were doing our best attempt at straight manning the situation. So when do I enter a scene with an absurd thing? Like, is that how important the straight man is what I'm saying. Like, do we need an expert straight manner to fucking, I can't speak anymore. My brain is fried. Fix this.
I think it's just our natural reaction. Like, it's just like when we as a person are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is just stupid. Like, what's interesting to me about the straight man is there's so many different ways to do it. There's bemused straight man. There's angry straight man. There's sad straight man. There's, like, all four emotions straight man. But, like, to me, the best versions of it are the people who just kind of stand on stage shaking their head, like, I can't believe you're doing this, or it's just like that natural reaction. I don't know.
Who else? Laurel and Hardy or Three Stooges? Are those, I haven't really watched any of those. Are those straight men to the, is it the world around them that's straight, Sam, to the, say, like the Three Stooges?
I mean, I think some of those do get into like peas in a pod territory. I mean, if you want to go, and again, the straight man will also be funny. So the roles change. But if you take like the classic Who's on First, one person has this absurd baseball team where everyone is named who, what, and where. The other person is just a like journalist trying to do their job. They're just trying to figure out who's playing first today, right? And so there's, I'm trying to think of like modern examples of it. Like it's not Will Ferrell, right? But it is Jason Bateman. Like Jason Bateman plays the straight man a lot of the times in the stuff that he's doing. And he's very much that like put upon straight man kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Jamie, these are film actors.
Arrested Development.
Yeah, great.
I was also thinking Seinfeld or maybe Jim from The Office.
Jim's a great example as like the straight in a world of kind of crazy people.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still thinking about it and I can't disprove my own assertion that it's about suffering. And suffering is a harsh word, but suffering in all its different permutations, you know, because if like those straight men that you mentioned, frustrated, angry, sad, like these are people suffering. These are not people at their happiest moments, right?
Yeah, no, I'd probably agree with that. And I would say maybe suffering is a little bit what the hotel scene was lacking, is that like,
maybe we were detached. Maybe it was emotionally detached. Maybe
a little bit.
Nobody cared enough about the toothbrush situation, or it was hard to care about it. Cause if you,
well,
cared...
it's a transactional scene. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, what about the battle axe? Chris was suffering.
The battle axe was great.
Yeah. Chris was suffering pretty hard in that one.
Literally.
Yeah. And like, you really do want to just take Chris's character then on a bunch of worst dates ever and just see how much that character would suffer.
That's interesting. Cause you said that earlier, but I wanted to see Jamie's character. Cause now I want to see that character at Target, at church, and
making, you know, other people suffer. Right.
I want to see what that looks like, you know, and then we get into the old, you know, if this, then what, but if this is a guy that uses a battle axe to make a drink, what does he do at church? How does he interact with people at the mall? When are you a bad straight man? When are you not fulfilling your duties as a straight man? Let's just say in a two-person improv scene.
When you say yes.
Yeah,
right? It's that you have to say no to say yes, no kind of a thing. Or like if you just say yes to the absurd stuff. Although something Jamie does that I really love and we've played with a lot is you say yes to the first absurd thing and then you kind of react to the second one. So like it's kind of okay that my house is a tree stump, but it's really strange that I have, you know, orange decorations everywhere.
Oh, love that. Love that. That's really fun.
That's always really fun. Yeah. What's fun? I don't know. I guess part of what's fun about that is it's just fun to live in a parallel society where some absurd things are just the norm. It's like you kind of get to explore what it means to live in a tree stump, but you have way too many orange decorations. You know, that's kind of great.
Yeah, no, that is great. Is there a point where the straight man could, you know, say like, this is crazy. But then the absurd person can make such a good argument for their position that it shuts them up. But I guess that ends the scene. I guess in our wonderful toothbrush scene, which will probably go down in history, frankly, in the archives. I guess once I answer that question for you, Sam, right? What type of hotel would do this? I go, oh, the kind where, and I just say, it's no song, right? It's this kitschy thing. Then it's like, okay, scene over, I guess.
Yeah, it's the kind that, you know, it's the dental convention. We're hosting it right now. So everybody's keys are toothbrush.
And then it's like, and done.
But now we know the game, right? Like, this is the UCB argument, is that now we know that this is the dental convention hotel. We can take it everywhere. We only serve shots of mouthwash at the bar. We only have, dentist chairs for the dining room, right? Mm-hmm. We can blow mm-hmm. that game out because we understand it. And now, like, this couple is going to be kind of put upon everywhere because of it.
And they are suffering, right? So now they're suffering in this little dental world. I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing it everywhere because I just put it out there. But like I'm convincing myself. People, please write in and tell me that I'm wrong.
I remember, I don't know where this is going to lead, but when I lived in Chicago, I had friends that were into the mod scene, which is like 60s, 70s, psychedelic rock. It's all these different levels of mod. You could be like early 60s, like Beatles with like the black ties, and or you could be like very psychedelic kind of Jimi Hendrix stuff. And I went to this party where the DJ had these like little 45 records and it was very cool. Everyone in suits and I was dancing with them. And then late at night, like four or five kind of like bro jockey type dudes with their girlfriends walked into what they thought was just a dance club or a bar. And they saw a fucking time warp, right? They stepped into a time machine because everybody was decked out, you know? And it was funny because we're the absurd and they were walking into what they assumed was a normal situation and they didn't turn and leave. They got a drink, but they were standing out so badly. But what's interesting is like, well, they were the normal people, quote unquote, yet in this world, in this realm, they were the oddballs. I don't know. There's something there about that too, where like, are they the straight people in that scenario? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I haven't thought about that memory in such a long time, but I just, it feels fitting here where it's like, is it whoever speaks first? Is it, you know, whoever lays down the rules, you know, who's absurd there? I don't know.
I mean, what I love about that is it kind of reminds me of Third Rock from the Sun, the TV show where they're aliens. And of course, they're aliens. Like, they don't understand how the world works. But they, like, kind of always end every episode, like, out on their roof looking at the stars, talking about, like, how weird human civilization is. And it's kind of like them as aliens straight-manning the absurdity of human existence.
Yes.
And that's always so satisfying where, oh, we thought we were the normal ones, but actually we're the absurd.
Yes.
It's always very satisfying.
And Jamie, I'll tell you what. However way you paint my story, both parties were suffering because the bros were not thrilled to be at this like kind of nerdy, you know, cosplay situation. But then we were also like, get out of here. Like you're ruining the reality of our fucking time warp.
Yeah, because they're the truth tellers and yeah. You're suffering and they're suffering because they're uncomfortable. Because they're the odd man out. Right. They're harassed by this absurd world. That's both versions of my straight man that I just gave earlier.
Yeah,
I'm seeing it everywhere, you guys.
You know, there's a writer named Bill Shakespeare who could back you up with this, where in his comedy, he always kind of has like the absurd people who fall on their ass and like we're laughing at them, like we're sort of like the straight man to them. But then in the tragedies, a lot of times like the fool in King Lear is like straight manning the absurd behavior of the tragic hero. And like the whole point of that play is to watch someone sort of like fall from their grace. So you might, Jamie, have convinced me towards your opinion on this.
Now, can the world be a straight man? I watched a movie in my movie club called Indian Summer, 1993. It's a fine movie, whatever. But there's this one character who's out of his mind. Very like Bill Murray, Caddyshack, kind of a weird character. And there's this scene where he's alone in a boat and he needs to take the luggage off of a boat and put it onto land. But the luggage keeps falling into the water and then he's like tangled up in a rope and then he falls into the water and then the luggage falls on his head. But no one else is around to watch it. You know what I mean? That there's no people like reacting. It's just this person having this silly like getting tangled up moment. Is that like is the water the straight person in that scenario? You know what I mean? Like, is the world acting as the straight canvas to the absurd goings on in there? What do you think about a moment like that? Where it's, I guess it's supposed to be funny. It's not really my cup of tea. But like, you know, this guy falling on himself, so he's suffering, Jamie, for sure. what I guess what I'm saying is, do we need two people? Or no, we established we can have a world, but can it just be one person? Can one person? Yeah.
Because that's what I was saying earlier, is like the straight man, the audience doesn't need someone to speak for them. They understand what's weird. They understand what's abnormal about this situation. So the audience is kind of the straight man, which is why it was weird to me to think like, oh, you're the voice of the audience. Like, they don't fucking need your voice. They don't need you to speak for them.
But it's important that, like, the world exists as we think it does.
Correct,
right?
If
the water had pushed the suitcase back on there, we'd be like, this is bizarre.
Gotcha.
Because we don't know, we don't know the rules of the world to know what's abnormal in that world. But, yeah, if they have our normal world rules and physics, then we, the audience, probably could be, you know, self-sufficient and without the straight man.
And so then can't you change those rules in real time back to – so we did a scene a while ago, guys, with toothbrushes at a hotel. Really good scene. If you walk up, Jamie, and you ask for the key and I give you a toothbrush and you go, what? Can then I go, what? Everybody come out here. This guy thinks getting a toothbrush is weird.
Is weird. It is. Well, I've never been to a hotel. I've been to hundreds of hotels. I only ever get like a little plastic key.
Oh, hey, honey. Wait, honey, you don't know about the toothbrush? I am so embarrassed. I am sorry.
I just wanted a key. What am I supposed to do with this toothbrush?
We're done. I'm breaking up with you.
Are you breaking up with me because of the toothbrush?
Sir, you cannot stay here. You cannot stay here. We're calling security.
That's discriminating. Why? I paid for this room.
All right, look, we brought you into this police station because you were causing trouble here, okay? You were causing trouble.
Yeah.
My partner agrees.
Well, I just wanted a nice vacation with my beautiful wife. We were just going to hang out by the pool. I don't get any time off of work. Honey,
you were staying at a hotel? We looked through your bags. We didn't find any toothbrushes.
I was going to get one at the concession stand. I don't bring my toothbrush with me. That's weird.
How are you getting to your hotel room without a toothbrush?
Answer.
I was going to use the normal key.
All right, we got a comic spot.
Welcome to the crazy asylum house, buddy. We hear you lost your marbles, huh?
I was just trying to stay at a hotel. I just... please don't do that to me.
Scene. That's a nightmare for that person. What did we accomplish there?
I don't even know what the fuck was happening.
Making the absurd idea, right, the reality.
It's an absurd world with a straight man thing. Isn't that one of Miles Stroth's types? Sam, you can speak authoritatively to that.
I made it all through, I think, two levels of the pack.
Are there more than two?
There's alternate reality.
Yes.
When Chris was kind of talking about the ones earlier where it's like straight absurd, peas in a pod, real reality, then like alternate reality.
Yes. Good point.
But like, I feel like we need Rod Serling to come out and be like, there's a place where toothbrushes are locked, right? You need the Twilight Zone guy to come out and like tell you what was kind of going on there. It's such an interesting example, Chris, because I've also seen that improv scene before. And it almost always fails.
I know.
It is always kind of a weird thing because the audience is like, that's not how the world works.
I know, you're right, Sam. But it's funny because I've seen that scene too and I've done it so many times because you look at each other on the wings and you go, we're going to do it. Like, we're going to be the ones to like attack this world in such a believable way that the person who's, you know, we're going to prove he's crazy. And the audience still always goes, No, you don't use toothbrushes to get in. You know what I mean? Like, that just still doesn't work. I know we already said it, and I don't have another point, but I just love the second idea, guys. Tree stump, orange. I love the idea of here, like the thank you for the toothbrush. And then you get there and it's like, insert floss. Like, what? Like, you know, I love playing with that idea. That is so cool. That is so fun. I don't do that enough.
Well, I think one of the traps you were talking about where people come in loaded for bear to do a straight absurd thing is they will point out the smallest thing that's not really that weird, and they'll try to make it the absurd thing by straight manning it so hard. And then they kind of make themselves the absurd one because they're like freaking out about like how you cracked an egg into a pan.
Yeah,
as opposed to like something just kind of naturally comes up. And I think that's always just much more rewarding for the audience to see.
Yeah, I think when the straight man, when you jump on the first unusual thing, that usually means you're playing by the rules of the world as we understand it. But if you jump on the second one, then we're already in an alternate universe where we live in tree stumps and orange is weird. It's kind of weird to have too much orange. So it's like we already jump away from a reality the audience knows, which to me is always kind of delightful. It always kind of takes you to that fantasy land, that kind of parallel universe that's kind of more fun to play in.
I never teach that, and I've never been taught that. Like, no one's ever laid out the rule or the idea of go with the second thing. You know, that's kind of cool. That's fun. Or I guess it isn't the second thing. It's not making the first thing unusual. Because it would be, it's not unusual to have orange decorations. It is unusual to live in a tree stump. So it's not like it was tree stump, which is unusual, and then a pet dragon, which is the second unusual thing. It's calling the not unusual thing unusual.
Yeah, well said.
I love that. That is so fun. You know, that's the only things I'm going to do from now on. I'm only going to call out the second, not, okay. I'm
the second talking. Thing. Yeah, call out the second thing.
Call out the first usual thing.
You know, yeah, that's right. That's good. You know, this has been fun to explore. I will say, and I can't think of an example, but there is a satisfaction to watching a scene go well when the straight man knows their job. When you know they know and they're clicked in, they're locked in, it's a satisfying moment for both players because the person who's doing the absurd stuff gets to continue to heighten and explore and have fun. And we see the misery or the suffering, Jamie, of the straight man. And when they know that it's happening, it is a real fucking pleasure to watch. Like, oh, this guy, he's just, he can't catch a break here. It's fun to watch people lock into those moments for sure.
Yeah. I agree. I think this has been an interesting episode just personally, but I can imagine the listener of this episode who doesn't like the idea of themselves laughing at the suffering of others. So help me in our final few minutes make that palatable. Let's help that person have permission to laugh at the suffering of others. Is there a way that we can do that? Because I think maybe that's why the language around it has changed so much, is that we don't like the suffering of others, the Three Stooges, the violence, the, you know, the emotional suffering. Is there a way that we can give people permission to explore the suffering of others as a form of comedy, which it is? You guys, can you help me with this?
I don't know. I mean, the term Schadenfreude comes to mind, right? Where there's a pleasure in other people's pain. I don't know. That's my entry. And did I get that right? The Schadenfreude?
Yeah, that's right. The German word. And I mean, if you think about how much the Germans have suffered since World War II, which is just hilarious to me. I mean, maybe we could enjoy that suffering, you know?
But maybe, because you're right. Yeah, please.
No, it maybe is that part of it is this feeling of justice. So like if the absurd person has annoyed other people and then they get their just desserts by getting reality slapped on them, is that, so there's a balance now to the world? Is that?
Yeah, I would say a dangerous trap for the straight man or person is to force an absurd thing from reality on someone who suffers already, or put someone as an absurd person, like make a straight person suffer as they would in like actual reality. Like, I don't know if I'm saying it very well, but it's the worst thing I think it can do is like make a woman have to straight man a scene where you're just being an asshole guy, right? Because like women have to deal with asshole guys all the time. Like, why do they have to like tell you you're being an asshole kind of a thing, if that makes sense, as opposed to different kinds of suffering or things that aren't typical to their life. I don't know if I'm making sense or just
right. No, that's interesting, Sam. No. Yeah. I know we're just trying to unravel all of this. That is interesting. That woman example is interesting. We wouldn't want to watch her suffer more. There's nothing funny about that. I mean, I guess it could be, but yeah. So Jamie, what the hell is it? What are we saying? Would it be enjoyable to watch the absurd person suffer in that scenario with the woman? Do you know what I mean? Where he's absurd in some like kind of creepy way, but she's the voice of reason, and then like he gets his what's coming to him. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's not even funny. I don't know.
I almost think like the complicated verbiage and like taxonomy of all these terms that kind of more or less overlap and mean the same thing is making
speaking
it
of
more
complicated
confusing.
Speaking of complicated verbiage,
the words that word? We use to describe words.
It's just a taxonomy.
But I think the language and the specific labels we throw on these concepts sometimes maybe even makes it more complicated, because maybe we're making distinctions without difference. Because now I'm thinking, well, maybe we just want to see the powerful person suffer. You know, because if it's the straight man in the scene, straight men in the scene usually are the ones who are kind of control the scene, or who are kind of like the quote unquote, like maybe normal one, or the person we I don't know. And then the absurd one kind of subverts that and throws their power out the window. So we're subverting power now. Is that maybe what's going on with this suffering? So we want to see the powerful people suffer. It's about power dynamics, not necessarily suffering.
But I don't know, because it's all mixed together. Because in that awesome scene that we did with the battle axe, I think it's kind of funny to watch me suffer, even though I didn't have power in that scene necessarily. I think that's kind of, I don't know, not that it was a hilarious scene, but I've been in scenes similar to that where I like that. I think that's fun, even though my character didn't do anything wrong.
Maybe because I'm like the weirdo. Usually the weirdo's like the underdog, and so they're just given less power in a social reading of a situation. If you have someone who just looks normal, who kind of blends in, and then you have like one like person who's wearing funky socks, like you already start assessing power in that situation. So maybe, and maybe this is subtle human psychology, but maybe it is about power, and we want to see the powerful person in the scene suffer. And maybe this is all reading way too much into this, but
no, I think this is actually pretty accurate. And there's this other silent film star called Charlie Chaplin. He did a lot of films, but like
Chaplin.
Thank you. I feel so embarrassed right now that I got that wrong. But like he was definitely like the tramp, right? But no actual suffering kind of occurs to him. It always occurs to like the rich people, right? And so I do think there is something to like, we want to see the powerful people to be the ones suffering, whether they're straight or absurd.
I think that's true. I don't think that's all of it, because I can really think of a lot of scenarios where, I don't know, for some reason I'm thinking of Joey Greer, who's I play with in Alchemy This and Pretty Pretty Pony at the West Side. You know, he'll come in like, all right, sweetheart, hey, you know, you want some steak? And like, kind of like be aggressive and like weird. It doesn't have to be to a woman. Just like say to his nephew, you know what I mean? Here, hold his gun. You know what I mean? Bang, bang. You just killed a bear. I don't want to play. Hold a gun. You know? Oh, look. Drag the bear over here. Put your hand in there. Grab, pull his heart out. Like, it's funny to watch him kind of fuck with the kid. He's being absurd. I know that wasn't a great example, but just follow me. But like, the kid has no power. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, uncle, I don't want to do this. No, climb inside. Look, you are the bear now. Stand up. Oh, it's. I think that's funny there, even though the uncle is absurd and the kid is suffering. I still think that's a funny scenario.
I think the bear suffered most.
Okay. Well,
there might be more than, I mean, I'm sure it's like the problem that scientists have. They're trying to put all of the universe into one theory of the universe. Maybe there's not just one theory of comedy. Maybe there's four.
I'll tell you what.
There's not three.
It is a pleasure though, Jamie. And I actually mean this. It is, and I appreciate it to listen to you try to lock in on some of this. Sometimes you do. Sometimes I feel like we're like, oh shit. Yeah, that feels right. That feels like the answer. And sometimes we don't, but like, that's why I fucking show up here, if I'm being honest. I love grappling with this and trying it on and it's slipping through our fingers, or we think we have it for a moment. That's fucking awesome. Yeah. Good stuff, yeah. guys. And hey, we had some great scenes. The toothbrush scene. Come on.
I'm starting to feel that Chris didn't like that scene.
It wasn't a very good scene, guys. I liked it.
Because there wasn't a key. Because there was no key.
I mean, we got the joke.
There was no key.
That's right. Listen, everybody, we thank you for listening. We thank you for going along with us. We would love to hear your thoughts on this. What's your experience been as being the straight man, as playing the opposite of straight man, as watching a straight man? Give us examples. Surely you were screaming at your speaker today. Surely you had ideas that were probably better than ours. We want to hear from you. Please write to us at The Comedy Fix. A lot of you are, and we love it. We love hearing from you. We love communicating with you. Yes, at The Comedy Fix on Instagram. If you want to see what I'm doing, come check out a class with me, chris-alvarado.com/workshops. I don't post that a lot. I don't say that a lot, but come see. You can watch classes for free. I teach two a week. You're always welcome to watch what I'm doing. Jamie, what are you up to?
Oh, I really have to figure out this straight man thing. I'm going to get a full universal theory of comedy and then undercut it. Sam, what about you?
I can't top that. That's just, I don't know. You know what? I'll be on the next episode of this podcast.
Great. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.